What should you do when you and your spouse argue about everything and you just feel like your marriage is going from bad to worse?
We'll discuss this and other questions from viewers today on Real Family Talk. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk, Your Questions Answered. During this episode, we are answering questions from viewers like you. Here's our first question.
We've been married for almost 7 years, but my marriage is going from bad to worse. Every time I think things will get better, they don't, and our marriage takes several steps backwards. I don't love my husband anymore and don't want to remain married to him. We have 2 young children. But I think they will do better without experiencing the frequent tension and arguments between their parents. Please tell me that what I am thinking makes sense and will be best given our circumstances.
Wow, indeed. Yeah, this is a great question. And it's a question that we hear often. So I think when the viewer, when you say, does it make sense? Of course it makes sense because it's your issue and it's how you're feeling. But what we'd like to share with you is some more sense, if you will, so that we can hopefully tackle this issue with a little bit more objectivity, perhaps, and some theoretical biblical framework. Almost every couple we've worked with over the years could not wait to be married. We do a lot of premarital counseling. We've worked with many premarital couples, and it's great to work with premarital couples because they are so idealistic and so excited about getting married. They were head over heels in love with each other, with the person that they were about to marry, and they just knew that their relationship was going to be different than all the others. Even when we say marriage is difficult, premarital couples will always say, and perhaps this viewer was one of those people, that it's going to be different for us because we really love each other. That's not going to happen. We're not going to have really terrible conflict. We try to help people recognize that marriage is going to be challenging. But couples will say, we know that marriage can be challenging, but our deep love for each other will conquer anything that will come our way. This is what we often hear from couples.
What's interesting about that is that, as we said earlier, premarital couples are often idealistic. Marital couples seem to be pessimistic. But premarital, always idealistic. It's not going to happen to us. We really love each other. We're not like the others. We are so in love, and our love will transcend anything. Here's the reality. If you experience anything like we have shared above, we invite you to go back to that place in your mind's eye. What about your husband before you got married made you so sure he was the one? What did he do or say that made you feel so certain you wanted to spend the rest of your life with him? In fact, you could live 2 lifetimes with him. Do you remember what you liked about him? What was it about his personality that made him so irresistible? Are any of those traits still evident in his disposition today? Go back to that place today and confront those memories to see if there is anything you saw then that is still present today.
That's really, really, really good counsel, because too often we forget the things that brought us together and we begin to characterize the other person or each other in just the ugly part, if you will.
In fact, what we do is we caricature our spouse. You know, we completely throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, yeah.
We forget that we did have some reason why we came together, and now all of that is out the window, and we're not interested anymore.
Yeah, and I find it interesting. This is something we do with our couples. We often say to couples to list 12 reasons why they want to marry that person. These are premaritals, and we tell them, hold that list. Now, when we started doing this, it was pen and paper. Now you can put it in your smartphone and keep it forever. And both of you hold the list of the other person. Why did your spouse want to marry you? Why did you want to marry them? And revisit this list over and over to remind yourself. Yeah, so this happens often. So whatever is happening in your marriage that is making you feel like ending it, unless your life is in danger, we believe you have a pretty good chance of getting the needed help to improve your marriage and make it livable again, if that is the choice you make. And you can make that choice because it ultimately is a choice. The fact that you have children together is also a very good reason to think twice before separating your children from their father or from yourself. Like everything else in life, marriage isn't perfect. Yet marriage doesn't have to be perfect to be good enough and worth fighting for. And so what we say to couples is this whole notion that we should not subject the kids to this arguing so we should get divorced is a false notion.
Yes, because getting divorced is going to put even more difficult circumstances in front of the kids.
Exactly. Yes. And so what really you could do is you could stop arguing.
You can.
You can find different ways to interact with each other. And one thing that we always say to couples is that the very thing that you're going to need to do, those things that you will need to do to have a good co-parenting relationship, because that's the new buzzword that we hear in society. We're going to be good co-parents. If you don't learn to communicate well, you can't co-parent. So if you're going to strive that hard to become good co-parents, you could actually turn your marriage around by making those same efforts. So it's worth it to strive to make your relationship work for the children and ultimately change your relationship with your spouse. Now, again, remember, we're saying all of this in the absence of an abusive relationship and some other detrimental issues that might be taking place in the relationship. But if this is about arguing, we don't get along anymore, we don't really like each other anymore, those are things that can be changed.
After all, you can learn to like each other again. You know, rather than jumping ship, this is a great opportunity for you and your husband to get professional help together from a trusted Christian marriage therapist. This is also a wonderful opportunity to call on the power of God to help you fix what seems unfixable, since there isn't anything too hard for the Lord.
At this difficult juncture in your life, we encourage you with the words of Jesus found in John 16:33 that says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We hope that you will trust God to bless your marriage, to overcome whatever hurdles you are facing today. You are in our prayers.
We'll be back after a short break with more questions from viewers like you. Stay with us. On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering questions from viewers like you. Here's the next question.
After 10 years of marriage, my husband just asked for a divorce. We disagree about almost everything we speak about. However, as a Christian, I know divorce is not God's plan. I've asked my husband to join me in counseling to find solutions to our dilemma, but he is not interested. We have two children in grade school who I am very concerned will be badly affected if we get divorced. Please help.
Wow, that's a mouthful and a huge issue in so many marriages. We'd like to say thank you for your sobering and important question. We're very sorry to hear about your dilemma, but pleased that you are very interested in finding a way to keep your marriage together. That's a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Yeah, I definitely do appreciate the fact that this viewer is looking towards saving her marriage as opposed to leaving the marriage. And again, like with the previous viewer, this person has two children or children in the home.
Yes.
And so it is important that we're concerned about what happens to these children. I think that in our society today, we're very somewhat cavalier about our own personal happiness and cavalier about what happens to the children.
Well, I think we're more interested in feeling good about our circumstances and not looking at the big picture. You know, I'm not feeling well. I'm not liking what's happening to me right now. And I'm ready to leave. And in this case, the husband is asking for a divorce. I'm not sure what the circumstance is, but what I do know is that before marriage, people are just anxious to be together and they can't wait to be together. But it's not sustainable unless you are intentional about making choices to be kind, to be compassionate. You know, and if
to listen to each
other. Yes, and if it's all just about me and me feeling good, well, that is going to disappear rather quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't want to make anyone feel that divorce is the worst thing that could happen. God says he hates divorce, but he doesn't hate anyone who's divorced. So we recognize that there are people who've been divorced, and we've dealt with that here on the show. But we want to be clear that marriage was God's idea from the very beginning. Genesis 2, 18 and 24 states, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
You know, I think that when we read what God says in the Word, in His Word, in the Bible, about marriage and what He expects of marriage, that if we are people of faith, we should take that seriously. You know, like yours, most marriages are filled with disagreements and misunderstanding. The truth is, there are no perfect marriages because there are no perfect people, and we often say that. And we say to premarital couples, and we say to people who are married, there are no perfect marriages because there are no perfect people. We say it also to parents. There are no perfect parents because there are no perfect people. In Romans 3:23, the Bible confirms, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's all of us. It means that none of us is perfect. Since we are all sinners, we should expect misunderstandings and disagreements in marriage. It is the natural reality of being a sinner. We are selfish. That's what sin is all about. It's about selfishness. It's about choosing my way. I want my way, and the other person wants her way. And never shall the twain meet. This is just the reality of being with another human being. Since none of us is alike, no two people are alike. And when we live in that close proximity to each other, we begin to get on each other's nerves. And it's easy for that to happen and for it to snowball, for it to escalate and feel that this has to be the worst thing that has ever happened to me, and I need to get out.
For sure, for sure. You know, as I was listening to you speak about getting on each other's nerves, now we've been married for 38 years. That's a lot of nerve getting on.
Yes, and we have gotten on each other's nerves from time to time. I have to testify. There have been times you have gotten on my nerves.
No way. There's no way I've gotten on your nerves.
Just a little bit.
You've gotten on my nerves.
Oh, I have?
Yeah. See, and this is the issue, yes, folks. Usually, we're only seeing what the other person is doing. Yeah. And it's usually a little, our idiosyncrasies that we get caught up on. And we expect the other person to, in essence, become us. Face it. And I know people will refute this, but stop and think about it. If you stop today to just think about all the ways in which you could potentially be getting on your spouse's last nerve. Now, I recognize that this viewer did say that it was the spouse who asked for the divorce. Her husband asked for the divorce. So we don't want to trivialize that. But we still want to say that you have the capacity, actually, to make some changes in this relationship. And we have honestly seen this happen with couples that we've worked with who've been in a similar situation. What we know based on social scientific research and personal experience is that the difference between couples that make it and couples that don't is their attitude. Those who go into marriage expecting to encounter difficulties and knowing that it will take effort to work together to learn skills to manage their differences are more likely to make it. On the other hand, couples who go into marriage expecting to live happily ever after are more likely to end in divorce. And this is based on scientific research and couples that we've worked with. And so it really has to be a mindset. And we're going to share some tips in our next segment about what you can do by yourself to possibly avert this pending divorce.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about the fact that it's the person who posed the question, whose spouse is asking for a divorce. My hope is that the spouse is watching this program, yeah, or people who have asked their spouse for a divorce,
yes,
are watching this program and recognize that they can back away from the reason why they're asking for a divorce.
Yes.
Because there are no guarantees that your next life is going to be any better. What we do know is that we're married, we made a commitment to each other, we have children, and that's a huge responsibility that we need to think about very seriously. Yeah. You know, you are correct when you say divorce is not God's plan. In fact, the Bible is very clear about God's intent. In Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6, the Bible says, "And Pharisees came to him and tested him by asking, 'Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?' And he answered," speaking about Jesus, "'Have you not read that he who created them, male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate.'" And of course, we know that Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see that marriage is sacred and important to God. So your marriage is sacred and important to God. And unless your life is in danger or the life of your children, then we need to do whatever we can to make it work and work together to make it good.
Yes. And what we want to do when we come back from the break is show you how one person can make a difference in this relationship. Stay with us. Many couples become discouraged when they spend most of their conversations disagreeing with each other. We understand that. We really understand that. However, we encourage couples to see their marriage as a tooth that has a cavity. There is pain and deterioration because of the lack of proper maintenance. But most people don't just go into the garage, find a pair of pliers, and pull out the tooth themselves. What we end up doing is going to the dentist, who has been trained to repair cavities in teeth and get the necessary professional help to repair and save the tooth. Well, the same needs to happen in marriage. Just because there are challenges doesn't mean you should throw in the towel. So we would like to share five ways that you can help fight to save your marriage. The first thing we want to say is pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for yourself. Pray that God will give you a spirit of calm and joy, and that he will turn your heart towards your husband. Pray for your husband that God will also soften his heart.
And what I'm thinking that you're saying is that this is something that one person can do. Because
yes,
invariably people think, well, you know, I'm doing all that I need to do and my spouse isn't doing anything.
Yes.
So this marriage is not going to work.
That's correct.
So, you know, my husband is asking for a divorce, or I want a divorce, and, you know, because this isn't working. But what we're saying here is it takes one to turn things around.
Yes.
It takes one.
Yes.
And so the first one is pray. The second thing is to be proactive. Have a positive attitude towards your spouse. And being proactive is all about making choices that will make the circumstance better. Now, people often say, well, but my spouse is doing something and I don't like it, or saying something and I don't like it. The reality is you can only change yourself. You can't change your spouse. You really can't. You can't control anyone else. Often we can't even control our children. We can only control ourselves. So being proactive means taking that space between the stimulus, whatever your spouse is saying to you, and your response. Now, just because your spouse is being ugly doesn't mean you have to be ugly in response, because all you get is double ugly, ugly to the second power. So when you're proactive, instead of responding in the same way your spouse is speaking to you, you choose a different response, one that will help build your marriage, one that will help diffuse the tension, one that will take you to a better place than to a worse place, because now what's happening is that you're escalating because you're each going at each other and trying to tear the other one down. So be proactive. Learn to develop a positive attitude.
Number three, be forgiving. Now, we know it's very difficult. Right now, we understand that there is a lot of pain that has taken place in this relationship. But the sooner we can push ourselves to forgive, the sooner the pain will be eased, and you can begin to allow God's power to work on you and your relationship. So ask God to help you to be forgiving.
But, you know, people are saying, push yourself to forgive. But you're saying, but this person keeps doing the same thing over and over and over. That's why I'm tired. That's why I want to get out. I've been married for 10 years, or some people might say 20 years, and nothing has changed. Well, nothing will change if you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Right. And so we're asking them to now do something different.
Yes.
To give it, because the sense is that this viewer does not want to get a divorce. So the first thing I would also say is, if you can, don't sign the divorce papers. Try these things first. Try to get a counselor, as we will talk about more. Number four, because we want to get through these points, avoid arguments. Be flexible. Try to listen more to what your spouse is saying. My sense is that there are these disagreements that you're talking about, because we did not hear from this viewer that there's abuse or serial infidelity in this relationship. So what my understanding is that, like most marriages that end in divorce, what we're talking about is irreconcilable differences. We basically don't listen to each other anymore, and so we feel uncomfortable in this relationship. So try to avoid getting into arguments. If your spouse starts to argue with you, don't argue. Don't do silent treatment, but just say, dear, perhaps we can talk about this at a time when we're more level-headed. And if it's something simple, be flexible and listen more.
And, you know, there are other ways to avoid arguments. Someone says something you don't really like. Instead of pushing back, just say, I'm hearing you say that you don't like the meal tonight. Absolutely, active listening
and summarizing.
Correct. You know, your spouse is complaining about the meal, for example, and saying, oh, this dinner, I really don't like it. What were you thinking? Instead of saying, well, you know, you are ungrateful, you know, and give him choice words,
Right. Simply
say, I'm hearing you say that this meal is not to your liking. Just diffuse the tension. Number five, choose joy. That's right. Choose joy. You can choose to be happy. We all can choose to be happy. Again, we're back to being proactive. If we choose it, then it's going to be all right, at least from our perspective. We encourage you to keep praying to God to change your husband's attitude. Then find a good Christian counselor who can help you repair the dysfunction in your relationship. We will also pray for God to perform the needed miracle in your marriage, so your family may not only survive, but thrive in the days ahead.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.